This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
Last night, all eyes were going to be on Game 1 of the NBA Finals. And really a historic opportunity, whether it's for the individual of Chris Paul or for the team of the Milwaukee Bucks. There are a million storylines to this particular NBA final and a ton of reasons to be hyped. The question is, did it live up to those storylines and hype? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. I'm Jason Fitz, filling in for Max. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get in on the fun. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. All of our guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Get out there, give me a follow. Come on now. Got a good tweet, by the way, from Shireen that said, in light of our conversation earlier about Sha'Carri Richardson, if you missed it, I'm sure it'll be on the podcast. Go check it out. I think it's good. But she said, in light of the IOC ban, why not have Sha'Carri Richardson be the flag bearer for Team USA? That way the U.S. is showing their feelings about the rules against THC. I don't know if that's allowable. I'm not smart enough to know that's allowable, but that is a great idea. So I'll give you all the credit in the world on that. So let's move over to the NBA Finals. And I was waiting with such anticipation. I have so much love for redemption. I think most of us do. And I have so much love for good guys in general. And by that, like, I think Chris Paul has gone through the trajectory that happens in 80s wrestling a bunch, where, like, you're a bad guy that becomes a good guy, and then you're a bad guy. In this situation, it feels like, you know, he was a good guy, and then all of a sudden everybody decided he was a bad guy. And now, as he comes to this young Suns team, he again rises as a good guy. It's like a very Macho Man storyline. Like, he's with Macho Man and Hulk Hogan, and they're back, and they're, you know, they're doing the thing. And everybody loves watching every ounce of it. So there's a part of me that loves the redemption that comes with Chris Paul. There's also another part of me that loves everything about Milwaukee. I'll be honest. I've been one of my favorite cities in the country is Milwaukee. One of my favorite cities to party in. One of my favorite cities to stop in on tour. Best food in the restaurant, Calderon Club, best restaurant in the country, is in Milwaukee. No doubt. Best Italian food I've ever had in my life. I love hanging out in Milwaukee. And I love the thought of a player, a young player with two MVPs that could go anywhere and do anything, sticking with Milwaukee and say, no, we're going to do it here. We're going to make it happen here. And you see a team, I'm old, right? You see a team that has a shot at their first NBA Finals in my lifetime, their first championship in my lifetime. You know, when we sit here and talk all the time about what the NBA needs, every summer, somebody hits me up with, it's too boring, it's too monotonous. And I've now got my counter argument, all right? We're giving you Milwaukee and Phoenix. Now, I don't really care about the TV ratings. I don't want to have that conversation. I don't care. And frankly, the NBA doesn't care that much either. They have so much love in different areas of how they grow their game. They're not worried about it. My question is, did it live up to the hype with the storylines? Because as excited as I was, I mean, I popped my popcorn. I sat down. I got ready for put a little ranch seasoning on it. I felt good about it. Raj, I felt good last night. I was getting into the game. I got all the seasoning going. I got my popcorn. I'm eating my snacks. About halfway through the game, Giannis is in. I'm like, this is going to be amazing. About halfway through the game, felt like ADD was kicking in. I was checking my phone more. All of a sudden, I was looking down. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm playing little games on my phone. Like, I don't know. For me, I don't know why it didn't hit, but it didn't hit the way I thought it would. Where were you? Like, are you feeling the hype at this point, Raj?
Well, going in, when you say anticipating the hype, was I feeling the hype? I'll be honest. No, there was no LeBron, no Steph, no Durant, so the big stars. But hey, there's Giannis, right, on the other side. So going in, no, I didn't feel the hype. But once it started, one thing I noticed, at least difference from last year when the Lakers were in, for the fans being present, kind of, okay, I felt that's what made me get a little hype. Because remember last year in the bubble, it was just eerie watching it with no fans with that backdrop. So once the game started, Jason, I started to feel a little bit of the hype. Did I check my phone? No, I didn't check my phone. But I did peek in the soccer game to see what was going on with Argentina and stuff like that. But I was okay once the game started.
You make a good point with the soccer. Like, I'm not a soccer fanatic. But my God, it's hard to be around the Euros and not just suddenly feel like you got to watch every single moment. I mean, penalty kicks yesterday had everybody excited, right? Like, there's this moment where it hits at a different level. I think as I look back on the game, maybe part of the reason it didn't hit for me was the basketball wasn't great early on. I mean, you're talking like a lot of missed shots and a lot of missed layups, and it just felt like neither team was as crisp early on as I thought they were going to be. Maybe that plays into it.
Now, do you think that was nerves with both of these teams not having finals experience? Were a little nerves kicking in there?
1,000%. It should be. Like, the worst show I ever played in my life as a musician was Madison Square Garden. It's because when I was a kid, I used to go up to Scalpers afterwards, and I'd be like, all right, I got the $3 of lunch money that I didn't spend this week. Can I get into this Rangers game or this Knicks game? So, like, I walked out on stage for Madison Square Garden. It was a sold-out show, and I was like, I sat here for this and there for that. Worst show of my life. It's still maybe the most memorable because it was the Garden. Uh-huh. But certainly, like, if you're a player, you've dreamed of the NBA Finals your entire life, you finally get into it. It's got to play into it, right? Nerves had to be okay. A little part of that.
A little bit, but let's. I want to back up for a second. So you're talking Madison Square Garden? I understand playing at a bar or two. I thought you was like a little garage band. Like, you toured around and played like the local, they have those parades and stuff like that. Or no, you played at the Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, Raj, like, you know what? It was, times were good. I had a nice run.
What went wrong? Why are you here? What went wrong?
I chose. That's part of the reason I've never missed music. Like, I walked away when things were really good. I was like, nope, I'd rather talk about sports every day. Yeah, that is a true story. Yeah, our biggest crowd was Hyde Park in London. Like, 110,000 people, I think, were there. But yeah, like, wow. we had that run. We had that run. And the Garden is the all one. Right. That I'll never forget. Also, shameless in my glory of myself, apparently, right now. But one of the portions of my tattoo on my right arm is the Olympic rings, because we played the Olympics in Rio for Team USA, and we had the song for Team USA in the Olympics that
Look
year.
At
so
you.
I got to go to the Olympics. Let's see if everybody else agrees with us on NBA Finals takes. Andre in Massachusetts. Andre, thanks for calling the show, man. What's your take on the finals?
Yeah, thanks for taking the call. My take is that the Phoenix Suns are clearly the best team the Milwaukee Bucks have played. They are better than the Brooklyn Nets team. And we saw that based off the fact that the Suns had a 16-point lead going into the fourth quarter. The Milwaukee Bucks cut the lead to 7. And then Phoenix made another run to win the game comfortably by double digits. When the Bucks were down 0-2 against the Nets in that game 3, where we had that ill-advised layup that should have been a shot by Kevin Durant, and they stole that game and rebooted the series, that's not going to happen against this Phoenix Suns team based off of what we saw in game 1. And so Giannis, he did sit on the bench longer than he needed to, in my view. I agree with that. But he's going to need to come out full force, because if they go down 0-2 in this series, in my view, it's not going to be the same as what they experienced in the Eastern Conference. And so Phoenix, they show that they're for real and they're not the paper champs of the Western Conference. And I think that if Milwaukee wants to extend to 6 or 7 games, they really need to step up in game 2. They can't go down big and come back and win. Thanks for taking the call.
Andre, love the call, man. That was good analysis. And by the way, I think, you know, there's a lot of game 1 that was reminiscent of what we just saw from the Bucks-Hawks. Like, the Bucks were up big in that last game, right? And then all of a sudden the Hawks got back in it, and the Bucks were like, nah, we're not going to play that way. I think that there's some element of you know, the better team. You're right. I mean, absolutely, last night the better team was certainly without a question Phoenix. The question is what adjustments can be made. And don't laugh at me when I say that, because Mike Budenholzer is an NBA head coach. Like, we just pretend that he's absolutely completely incapable. I don't know if I'm willing to go there. Mitch in Jersey, thanks for calling the show, Mitch. What you got? What's your NBA Finals take?
How are you doing, Jason?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Everything's well. Good. I think Phoenix got too much talent. I'm shocked that Giannis played that well. But that backcourt compared to their backcourt, Drew's at least 30. But Devin Booker, he's a star in the making. Well, Chris Paul's no young chicken, but he's playing his best ball. I don't think he's going to let this fly. He's not going to let this chance slip away. And Devin Booker is just the best player between both teams, I think.
Yeah, well, and look, thanks for the call, man. Devin Booker might be, with Giannis not at 100%, Devin might be the best player in this series. But there is sort of a note. I'm just going to keep rewinding to a week ago. Because a week ago, Chris Paul was a problem all of a sudden, and the pace of play was an issue, and Devin Booker had lost his magic, and the Suns were suddenly struggling. Like, we have waited on every opportunity that we possibly can to give up on the Suns and the Bucks throughout the course of the entire playoff. We've done it. Every chance we've had to call one of them done, we have absolutely done it. I'm not willing to do that at this point. I mean, this is a team, whether it's injury or not, that has fought back from an 0-2 deficit in Brooklyn. And again, the Bucks have trailed in every single series. I mean, I was sitting between a buddy of mine that's a lifelong Bucks fan and Harry Douglas, the former Atlanta Falcon that is just absolutely biggest Hawks fan, for game 1 of the NBA Finals. I'm sitting between the two of them, and the trash talking back and forth after that game, because Harry was like, Hawks in 6, Hawks in six. And then Giannis goes down and everybody says, Hawks in six. Like, we have been begging to give up on the Hawks for a very long time. And all they do is figure it out. So while that may not, nobody wants to give Coach Bud any credit. Nobody wants to give Giannis any credit. And last night was a night to forget for many of the players, I think, across the Bucks roster. The Bucks didn't play as well as they could have or should have in game one. They were not the aggressor. And every time they've come out flat, they get their butts beat. So we'll see what it means moving forward. We'll get back into this series, obviously, but we are getting closer and closer to NFL training camp. So let's get a little insight there. It's a Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. We're joined on the Goodyear Hotline by ESPN NFL reporter Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, my friend, thank you so much for hanging out with me. I feel like it's been like 7 minutes since I've asked you a question about Aaron Rodgers and his future. So Aaron Rodgers, you think he's showing up to camp at this point?
Yeah, Jason, great to be with you. And breaking news, Aaron Rodgers tied his shoes today, so everybody can rejoice. That was Jason Williams' line this morning, just because we've been talking about it so much. But, you know, I think from what I've gathered asking around, you know, I even think the people in Green Bay are a little torn. Some people think he's going to report. Some believe he's so dug in that he might let it bleed out well in August, even the regular season. So he is not giving indication one way or the other right now, as you could see on the match with his comments from the golf outing, that you know, he is not showing his cards, not showing any emotion, and that's in true standoff form. So, you know, all the Packers know is that they're not going to trade him. They're remaining firm on that, and so they're going to kind of wait for his move.
You know, Jeremy, the interesting thing to me, and I feel like I've said this a million times, but I'll say it again, they are so late in trying to get anything done that whatever they could get back for him at this point won't help them this season with Jordan Love. So it feels like the Packers have sort of dug themselves into a corner. Is there a spot for Green Bay in your mind where they're going to throw their hands up and say, it doesn't matter what you want to do. We're not going to trade you. We're not going to let you play anywhere else. If you don't want to play here, you can take your ball and go home.
Well, I think that's exactly their stance. And you know, talking to other teams, they believe that's their stance, and they believe that's the right stance. You know, you make him make a decision based on your precedent. And so clearly, you know, the Packers are going to sit back and basically dare him to retire. So if he doesn't show up for camp, you know, they feel like, hey, that's valuable reps for Jordan Love. Obviously, they're hopeful he shows up. And if he doesn't, you know, if he doesn't show up on July 27th, you know, that doesn't shut the door on anything. They still have a lot of time. Aaron Rodgers has made over $200 million in his career. So, you know, some $50,000 fines a day is a lot, but it's not insurmountable. So, you know, he could always handle it and even take this into week one or week two and see what happens.
Just the math on that, thinking about $50,000 to Aaron Rodgers, you're absolutely right. We're talking to Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter. Do you have a sense, because we've talked so much about the other places Aaron Rodgers can go? You mentioned most teams think that he's not going anywhere, but do you feel like teams approach this offseason with a bit of a hesitation of wait and see just in case he became available?
A little bit. You know, it's interesting because Denver is a team that likes its roster a lot, believes it can win, and likes its competition with Drew Luck and Teddy Bridgewater, but, you know, they're also monitoring the bigger quarterback outlook. And I think, and I had heard months ago, that Deshaun Watson was at least intrigued by Denver. And, you know, if the Watson complications had come about with the sexual assault allegations, and let's say he was in good standing and nothing was really going on pending, that I wouldn't be shocked if he was a Bronco, you know, just because I think he's the younger option. And if Houston at that point was willing to trade him, which they weren't, you know, it's kind of changed now with the allegations. But before then, they were standing firm that they wouldn't trade him. But if they would have, you know, I think Denver could have been a prime spot. And so I think those kind of teams, there aren't very many out there. Most teams have their quarterback situations met. But, you know, Denver's the rare team that has a good roster that can win now without solidified quarterback play. You know, they feel like they can win with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, but they need to see more still. And so, you know, they'll monitor Rodgers and they'll monitor Watson, but neither guy is really available right now. So, you know, the Raiders are interesting because they are very happy with Derek Carr, and I could even see them re-signing Derek Carr at some point. You know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, and some people consider him a top-10 quarterback around the league. You'd be surprised how many feel that way. But if Rodgers fell in their lap too, it wouldn't shock if they made that move.
You know, Jeremy, every week I talk to the Raiders affiliate and also our buddies at ESPN Vegas. And your name came up the other day because of the Derek Carr thing. And everybody's saying, hey, it's being reported. They're going to have some conversations. I mean, at some point, if you're the Raiders and Derek Carr, do you think they get into bed at this point and just agree that they're going to be married? Or do they continue this annual dance?
Well, I was trying to contextualize that basically they're happy with him. He's got 2 years left. Nothing has really happened with a contract negotiation at all. It's just, you know, it's something that the Raiders have likely discussed internally. And you know, I've heard in some league circles that that could maybe happen one day, but I don't think anything's going on right now. You know, that said, I do think both sides would be open to it at some point. So it's not like they're the narrative is that the Raiders are trying to replace him with every quarterback available, and that's just not the case. Have they looked around? Yeah, probably. But Derek had a really good year last year. He kind of let it loose finally and, you know, was not checking down as much. And so there's a realistic option that he's the long-term guy there.
Jeremy Fowler, ESPN NFL reporter, joining us. Max Kellerman's show, Jason Fitz filling in. You mentioned Deshaun Watson's name earlier, and, you know, just the way society works, so much of us have just forgotten about Deshaun Watson because it's been quiet. The allegations haven't gone anywhere, and multiple reports have said that he won't even be deposed until likely February. At what point does the league have to come out and make a decision on what they're going to do with him for this season?
Well, closer to training camp is when they would likely place him on the commissioner exempt list if they're going to. They don't have to do it by then, but that would be – there's precedent there for doing so because then you would be actually exempt from something. Right now, there's really nothing to be exempt from. But come camp, you know, they can remove him from there with the exempt list, and then they could keep him on there for a while the case shakes out. And so there really is no progress that I'm aware of with a settlement between both sides. And even if there was one, you know, certainly the league could step in with a suspension of some sort. So all that has to be cleared up before Houston or another team would even think about trading for Deshaun Watson. Obviously, that's not going to happen now. But I do think a few teams are at least monitoring the situation. If the trial goes as planned, you're right. He wouldn't be deposed until February. And, you know, that wouldn't preclude a team from trading for him anyways. It would be very unlikely.
I mean, can the Texans realistically allow him to play if all of this is still hanging over their heads as they go into the season?
Well, if he's not on the exempt list, then he could, yeah. So it all depends on what the league office wants to do. I'd imagine with the seriousness of the allegations that they would step in.
Jeremy Fowler, as always, I appreciate your time, your insight. I feel like we'll talk about Aaron Rodgers again, you know, tomorrow, day after. It's just it's a daily thing on it. We'll get tattoos together, and then we don't have to answer the questions anymore. I appreciate you, my friend. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
You know, I feel for Jeremy and all of our ESPN reporters because it's a daily, daily grind trying to find out the information on Aaron Rodgers. And at some point, this comes back to everything else. I don't think we're going to know until we actually get to the season. And what's going to be outrageous is when we get to preseason and all of a sudden, if he's not there at preseason, the amount of people that are going to presume that means he's gone. I'm not willing to make that presumption. I think that everything Green Bay has done throughout the course of this entire process has told us how they're going to negotiate this. They're going to negotiate it publicly without any give a damn to how Aaron Rodgers feels or what Aaron Rodgers wants. They've never respected what he wants in the past. I don't think they respect what he wants now. And frankly, that's just the way they're choosing to do business. What the long-term repercussions of it are, at this point, there's too much pride dug in for anybody to actually look at that with any reasonable mindset going into it. All right, coming up, we'll get into it. Should Cam Newton be New England's starter this season? No doubt. That's coming up next on the Max Kellerman Show. But first, we got some straight talk. We've all been there. You got real work to do, but the free Wi-Fi where you're working isn't going to cut it. True story. I tried to do a show once with the free Wi-Fi, and it just did not work. It's like leaving the winning runner stranded on third base. Not good. You only get every other word because, like, you're connected on this device, and all of a sudden, it just goes downhill. Now, you can be your own hotspot with Straight Talk's Ultimate Unlimited plan. You get 10 gigs of hotspot data for just $55 a month, all on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Compatible device required. See Straight Talk. We'll give you the Straight Talk with No Doubt coming up next. Max Kellerman Show.
No
Jason
Doubt.
Filling in.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The hype music you hear there, the band Perry. Jason Fitz filling in for Max today. Wow. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Yeah, for anybody that doesn't know, I'm actually quite proud of my time in country music. Most notably, I think about 7 years on the road with the band Perry. So a little band Perry love coming there. All right. You guys can chime in on the show. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm pretty sure I could still play that solo in my sleep, by the way. I haven't heard it in a while, but I think I could. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Jeremy joined us on the Goodyear Hotline, by the way, earlier, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, Fitz. Time to put down that fiddle and put on your thinking cap. All right. Jason, Cam Newton should start over Mac Jones.
Absolutely not. No, there's no chance that I want Cam Newton starting if I'm the New England Patriots. Realistically, I know that everybody wants Cam to win this job because Cam is somebody that, you know, we want to see redemption from. We love seeing the opportunity for him with better weapons to come out and have a great year. They drafted Mac Jones to be the future, right? So if I'm New England, I'm looking at it out of the gates and saying the best case scenario is actually that Mac Jones wins the job. He comes in and he's so good. He's so stinking good through preseason. They cannot deny him the field. And then all of a sudden he turns around and wins the job. So I think that's what's going to happen for New England. Now, Cam, I love Cam. Cam's done.
All right. I agree with you. Don't let Keyshawn hear that, boy. We've been arguing about that for years. I'm just saying Cam's done for a year, but Keyshawn don't see it.
It's a day that ends in Y, so Keyshawn's wrong. Throw that
another
shade.
Another quarterback question for you. Jameis Winston should start over Taysom Hill.
Yes, absolutely. There is no doubt about that. And
no doubt.
There is zero proof of concept at all that Taysom Hill can be a capable starter in the NFL. As much as we want to turn around for Jameis and constantly talk about the interceptions, we're just going to forget about 5,000 yards passing and 30 touchdowns in the same year that he threw the 30 picks. Like, we just conveniently forget that this kid had tremendous success. Like, he wasn't just good. Like, he put up numbers that I know the picks are a big deal. But let's also look at it and say, okay, now he goes to an offense that's much different. Now maybe we could admit, knowing that Tom Brady threw more interceptions that we've seen, that part of that was, I don't know, the offense and the way it's structured in Tampa Bay. And I think there's a huge opportunity, not just a small – like, this is an opportunity for Jameis Winston to step in and show everybody that he can still be a star in this league. I think he's going to have a really good year.
All right. Hey, it's National Dive Bar Day. Now, we just had a big conversation over the break with country music and things like that. So, Jason, you'll still hit up a dive bar.
Oh, God, yeah. There's no doubt I'll hit up a dive. Like,
no
look,
doubt.
And let's be very clear about what a dive bar is, too. Like, I want a place where your feet stick to the floor, yet the entire place still feels like it smells like somebody took a large bucket and just dumped bleach everywhere. So you're like, it smells like bleach. It smells clean. Why is it not clean? Like, that's the – I'm looking for a place that, like, Gordon Ramsay would walk in for Kitchen Nightmares and just walk right back out. Like, that's what I'm looking for, and I'm probably going to order something fried from the back, and it's all of the grossness in that fryer that's going to make it taste good. The beer's going to be a little bit too cheap and a little bit too cold because they're just hoping that masks it. Like, I'm all in for that all day, every day. Santa's Pub in Nashville. Like, all in for that.
What about you, Bubba? You all in for dive bar still?
Oh, of course. I'm not turning down a dive bar.
Raj, you seem more, you know, maybe a little more refined. Like, you want your bar to have a little neon that's nice, or like a comfy seat, or like being a pub. You don't seem dive bars to me.
I like pubs, and I also want to feel like I'm in an episode of Miami Vice. I want the neon lights. I want the nice apple teenies if I have to turn that way. Very versatile, but I prefer a little nicer. I don't want my feet sticking to the floor. Y'all crazy.
I'm saying, like, I want all that. Like, I want a bartender that's angry that I ordered a beer from her in the first place. Like, that's where she's like, I'm working. And it's like, no, you're not. You're talking to your friends. Like, that's what we're looking for the whole way. Like, give me that experience all day.
You'll have to put a Twitter poll up on that one or something. Hey, did you play Nintendo back in the day, Fitz?
Yes. I'm a 44-year-old grown-ass man, of course. Oh, we lost Raj. I can't hear Raj. I think he's asking me, can we hear Raj anymore? Is he there?
Did you mute yourself? What'd you do?
We got nothing. Bubba, this is what happens.
We lost
when
him, but
when
I don't know what Raj is. Raj blew it here, but I guess the question is, you have a Nintendo movie you want to see.
Okay, so they've made some of these in the movies over the years. This one's difficult for me because I played mostly Tecmo Bowl because, let's face it, you can't tackle Bo Jackson. I don't want to see a movie about that. A lot of double dribble, but we all know that you can find that one spot on the court and nobody could ever stop you from making that shot. So I don't want a movie about that. And Blades of Steel was also a common one for me, but I don't need a movie about the hockey world. So I'm going to get out of my three most comfortable I play still to this day on a Nintendo video games, and instead I'm going to go totally out of left field and say Contra. I think they may have made a Contra movie, but Contra was my, like, if I had one of those I was going to go to, it was going to be Contra. I don't know if we have Raj back, but Raj, I see him celebrating.
I hit the off button by mistake and accident. I put on some other program. But yes, Contra. In fact, I have the actors. I want to see Arnold Schwarzenegger and Stallone star in Contra. Two of them with two big guns and have them just go through whatever Contra went through, aliens or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, that's a really good casting. Like, that is, I mean, that is strong. I don't know. I thought maybe when you said you were going to cast it again, I don't know why I've become such a, always wrestlers that come into this. I was a little on the John Cena and The Rock together on it. Like, give me a little comedy to it. But you're right. You give me Schwarzenegger and Stallone, like, there's a vintage-y feel to it, too. Like, you cut that thing, like, it make it look like it's an 80s movie. Bring, like, 80s everything into it. Raj, you've hit a gold mine here.
I'm talking about Stallone with the bandana and the Rambo get up, and then Schwarzenegger, the chopper, you know, get to the chopper, you know, and he's the alien type of dress. I mean, put those in there. That'll be a hit.
I'd be in for a Legend of Zelda movie, too, if it was done right. But don't give me a Mario Brothers movie because, like, frankly, at the end of the day, like, I understand exactly who Mario and Luigi are supposed to be, and they're certain characters in my mind, and I don't want you to change that. Like, I don't want anybody to try and give Mario some human element. Like, I need that. I need that same voice. I'm very particular with that stuff, Raj.
Fair enough. I like it.
All right, you guys can chime in. By the way, tweet me at Jason Fitz with your thought on a Nintendo movie. I'm suddenly rethinking it. Maybe I do want a Tecmo Bowl movie. Might be the only way I ever see my beloved Raiders win a Super Bowl is in the Tecmo Bowl movie. All right. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. You could say big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Boat. Visit Progressive.com. Coming up next on the Max Kellerman Show, massive news out of Miami that could change the college football landscape. We'll tell you about it next. Max Kellerman Show, Jason Fitz filling in on ESPN Radio.
Whether on your radio, on your phone, or your smart speaker.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
If Cam stinks up the joint with these dudes that they went out and got, and the New England Patriots are not competitive within their division, they need to cut him during the middle of the year.
Wake up with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Tomorrow starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch them on ESPN2.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
People are fired up about a Nintendo movie. Apparently, they've decided that there's a movie out there we missed, Raj. There's a movie that must be made. We'll tell you what it is. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Jason Fitz filling in for Max. You guys can chime in about Nintendo or really anything we've talked about today. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. If you missed any of the Max Kellerman Show today, we had a really spirited and good discussion about name, image, likeness. We had a little bit an insight you haven't heard anywhere else that you need to check out about the Olympic issue with marijuana. And, of course, all the NBA finals that you could possibly want. You can find both hours of the show posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. I've had several tweets at this point telling me that we missed the mark and that a movie should be made of Metroid. So Metroid apparently getting a lot of love at this point. So, you know, that's where we are. Metroid, a good call on this, by the way. I'll say any of these vintage movies, the only thing I require is make it feel vintage. That's the one thing I want. Like, don't make it feel like it's futuristic. Put me back in the 80s while I'm watching it. I'll give you my thoughts on name, image, likeness. But before we do that, Jay in California, I know you want to chime in. Jay, what you got? Thanks for calling the show today.
Well, I know that you, hi, and thank you for taking my call. I know that you were pretty adamant about Mac Jones, you know, blowing everybody out of the water and starting over Cam. But if you just remember back, Tom Brady never made it over Drew Bledsoe. And I think, matter of fact, Tom was number three on the depth chart. So it's not going to make or break Mac Jones. Matter of fact, Mac kind of likes to be eased in. He likes to watch the quarterbacks kind of run things from the, you know, from the field view, and then he just eased into his spot, just like, you know, just for example at Alabama. So that's my first point.
Well, Jay, I guess my counter to that was I spent a decent amount of time around the college football game, and I cover it as part of my livelihood. I've never gotten the impression that Mac wanted to be on a sideline in his life. And as much as I hear you when you say that Belichick doesn't like young quarterbacks, weren't we just saying a few months ago that the Patriots don't go out and spend a bunch of money on talent? Like, that's exactly what they did. I mean, they gutted everything and they're rebuilding in a new image. And so as much as we could talk about the past, I don't think Cam is good enough to lead the Patriots to the playoffs. And the rest of this roster, with the money they've spent, darn well better be in that playoff conversation. So if I'm the Patriots, this isn't just about Mac Jones. This is about the fact that if I'm banking on Cam Newton leading my team to the playoffs, I don't think you're going to get where you want to be. I'm not sure what we can rely on from his health, obviously. There have been accuracy issues throughout the course of his career at different times with whether or not he's capable of getting the ball out quickly and accurately for a team that just spent a bunch of money on a couple of tight ends. I think this offense is better suited to Mac Jones out of the gate. So it's not just about what Belichick wants. It's not just about what Mac wants. It's also about the fact that I don't think Cam's going to give them what they need. And realistically, right now, if everything breaks the right way, the Patriots are looking at the wild card at best. Buffalo's a better team. So if I'm the Patriots and I want to be in the wild card conversation, I can't wait 6 weeks while I watch Cam Newton screw this thing up to then get the opportunity to put in Mac Jones and hope that he can then save my season. It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. Obviously, name, image, likeness, speaking of the college football game, is something that's on the top of a lot of people's minds as we all try and figure out what it's going to look like. And the answer is different. All right. And so what we have to start asking as fans and as people around the game is, how will your team thrive? We got an answer from that quickly from Miami, as one of their boosters has now agreed to put as much as $540,000 a year in year one towards players, paying them as much as $6,000 a man to do some social media work for his team. You know, just he's just out there kind of making sure, hey, I want to give everybody a little opportunity. And he's been blunt about the fact that he's done it all within the letter of the law. He's following every rule. And he's going to make sure that Miami returns to relevance by making it as appealing as possible to play for Miami. Now ask yourself this. That's Miami. Miami, a team that in the 80s, 90s, a team that was absolutely dominant in the college football landscape, but a team that today does not sit at the same threshold at all that places like Clemson and Alabama obviously fall towards, right? Like, it's a much different beast. Florida is a hot recruiting ground. So now, if you are every other school there, Florida State, that spends a ton of money on college football, values the importance of college football, Florida, a team that, frankly, every single year comes in with fans that have expectations that will lead to an SEC East championship, at least, and some level of contention throughout the SEC. If you're everybody else there, you're looking around saying, my God, if Miami's doing that, what do we have to do? And this is the trickle-down effect, because now Florida's looking at it saying, okay, let's call our boosters. Let's see who we can get to set up some sort of a social media account opportunity for players. There's no skin off their back in the process. Maybe you make an appearance. But we got so dug into the concept of car dealerships and, you know, little under-the-table deals. We forgot that in a modern society where most of these players have massive followings, they can monetize those followings today. They don't have to wait 6 months. They don't have to wait a year. They don't have to build anything. Frankly, many of the top prospects in the country at football come in with such a following because of recruiting and how well it's covered, they already have tens of thousands of followers. And then the minute it's announced that somebody is signing with Georgia, what's everybody do? Every Georgia fan goes out and follows them. If I run a company, I want to advertise to Georgia. What's the best way to get to the Georgia fan base? I mean, there are so many layers to this. Do I really need to spend money on stadium advertising? Do I need to spend money on TV advertising on the local broadcast? Or can I just turn around, spend that same money making sure that every player, every single Georgia player in this example, turns around and posts about my company? That's the real new world of college football. And whether you like it or hate it is irrelevant because you can't change it. It's not about you. It's not about what you think. At this point, it's all about how does your favorite team thrive in a new market? That's going to be the expectation. Coaching staffs, which, by the way, have unlimited budgets in many of these schools, are going to add somebody that's going to figure out a way to just talk to boosters and make sure the boosters are doing everything they can. This is going to be the new level. Just like there's recruiting coordinators, there's going to be booster coordinators, and they're all going to figure out a way to monetize. It's going to be exciting for the change of college football. Chiné and Golic Jr. coming up next. Don't forget Spain and Fitz, 7 to 9 p.m. tonight.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.